We have something special this morning for our scripture reader, is Claverly, who is a covenant student that's been studying here in St. Louis for 2 years, but went back home to Tanzania. He says Tanzania, so we're going to say Tanzania, but Tanzania, where he will continue now a ministry where he is equipping and preparing to church plant in his hometown. And as he's been with us, he is now one of the recipients of the Mayfield Scholarship Fund, so we get to hear him read scripture for us this morning. So no matter where you are in the world, he's here with us in worship, so we'll hear the scripture. Follow along in the bulletin, as the version today will be the New Living Translation.
Dear friends, I'm so happy to share with you the word of God from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. And here is the word of God. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in handling each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And be happy with those who are happy. And weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Thank you for listening. And that is the word of God.
Praise be to him. My name is Ben Zing, and I'm the pastor of Evangelism Community here at Central. Central Presbyterian seeks the transformation of our lives, our communities, and the world, the renewing work of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. This fall, we've been drawn by God to focus on belonging here. We ask people to belong to the family and belong to the mission. Romans 12 is a great passage for us as Paul is calling God's people to see all that we do as an act of worship. In the beginning of Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We present our bodies and our lives as a living sacrifice by the mercies of God in worship. We come here to worship God and offer our lives and to see the transformation God has in doing in our lives, community, and the world. And that is what I hope God continues to put on display this morning. As Paul continues to write to the church, he mentions in Romans 12, 4 through 6, for as in one body we may have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. We are one body of Christ, with Christ being our head, but we are all play a different part. And each is so important to be the body of Christ. And with our different gifts, our talents, passions, abilities, experiences, we're all called to serve and be used in different ways. And which, again, our act of worship and being living sacrificially for God. As we call people to come belong to the family here at Central, it truly is that family of God that we are united together by the blood of Christ. And the oneness in what God is calling us to do. So it is in that belonging to the mission that we're seeing together here at Central. We have different roles, parts to play, but we are all in this together, and we need each other. We see that as we were planning the mission conference Sunday, the mission committee talked about how many people play a part of shaping our mission of how we transform lives here at Central. It extends from our hospitality team, of Julie Krause and her team and all that they do. They don't just welcome people here with delicious food. And it's a warm, inviting, hospitable place where people can come and worship and grow. But Julie's team has helped empower us to bring food all around our city in our community. They've been amazing in helping us engage in the work of loving people right here in our community. Then it moves and engages to all of our volunteers that have helped us with Sunday worship experience, or also helped us with teaching Sunday school or equip you. From our amazing dedicated teachers from PEEPS, our early childhood, through our elementary, to our teen, to our adult, we've seen lives changed and transformed and equipped to serve and love the church, our community, and the world. So yesterday, for those that were able to join us, we had 14 local ministries come and share with us the amazing things God is doing here in our neighborhood that we can connect and engage with. And we're not asking you to connect and do all the work of all 14, but see your gifts and passions and know that there's a place for you to serve and connect. There's just so much bad news out there. When we turn on our TVs or our internet, and when we read that bad news, we need to know that there's so much good news that's going on with what God's doing. He is at move, and we get to hear the amazing things that God is doing. And if you weren't able to come here yesterday, don't worry. There's still plenty of ways for you to connect. At the entrance, there are these passports here. And right here, they'll give a description of all those ministries along with their websites. And right here is a sheet that indicates all the ways that you can serve, again, within the church, outside the church, that, again, help you belong to the mission. So come, see all the opportunities that you can connect with and belong here to the family and to the mission. We have here coming up testimonies from what God is doing around the world. We have a special treat for you guys. And we're so excited to hear what God's doing with the missionaries on the front lines, with all the ways that God prepared them and all the things that we're doing to support them financially and prayer and encouragement. Things like this will give us the inspiration of what God is doing around the world, and he's at work. But that moves us to the passage here in our worship folder, Romans 12, 9 through 11. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And that's the ESV. But as we were talking about it again in our mission group, we were talking about how we really want to inspire people. Think about the ways that we need to have true and genuine love. Romans 12, right here, the spiritual gifts that are spoken, is matched now with love. 1 Corinthians 12 also talks about the gifts of the church, but it's matched with 1 Corinthians 13 and love, that none of it matters without love. And God gives us that love that we can give to others. So we need to have true and genuine love, that comes from Christ. The God who sent his one and only Son to die on our behalf is the ultimate picture of love. That love actually empowers us as well, that gives us new life and ability to know that we can't do this on our own. We love God, and then we find the love God gives us in community in his church body, but then goes to the ends of the earth to share that love with those that need it. So this work is ongoing and never ending. So Paul continues again with that Romans 12, 11 in that New Living Translation. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. It's been a difficult year and a half, and one that can lead us to not want to do anything. And I know that we all get that. I think every single one of us in the room gets that. But as we trust in the Lord and look to him, he will continue to show his presence and guide us to see how no matter where, no matter how, God can use you, and he will develop a heart that is passionate for him because he's passionate for each one of us. With that, I'm going to hand over to our testimonies that we get to hear what God's doing around the world.
Good morning. My name is Rosemary Oliver, and I'm part of the mission team here at Central. And today it's my joy to interview the first two testimony givers. They're teenagers here from Central who, before COVID-19, went around the world on mission trips. Freya Blackman, how old are you and where did you go?
I'm 13, and I went to Tegucigalpa, Honduras for the MICA project.
Tell us about one of the highlights of your trip, Freya.
One of the highlights was meeting the Micah boys who have come off the streets of Honduras to find God.
And how did you see God being glorified in Honduras?
I saw God through the staff members headed by Michael Miller.
And what was one thing God taught you, Freya, on this trip?
That he can show himself through people and I can glorify him through me.
Thank you, Freya. And now I'm going to ask Isaiah Smith some questions. Isaiah, how old are you and where did you go?
I'm 14 years old and I went to Kenya.
And tell us one of the highlights from your trip, please.
One of the highlights was probably being able to go on a safari with everybody and being able to see God's creation in the wild.
Wow. And how was God being glorified in Kenya?
Through the Kindergore family, like spreading schools throughout all of northern Kenya to give people experiences to change their lives and introduce Jesus Christ to them. That was probably one of the biggest ways.
And what was something God taught you, Isaiah, on this trip?
That it doesn't really matter your age. You can still get involved with missions, like, regardless of how old you are.
Thank you, Isaiah, for going to Kenya and sharing Jesus. And Freya, I have one more question for you. I was just downstairs, and there's lots of balloons in Fellowship Hall. Would you tell us where those balloons came from?
Yeah, so I have a business called The Balloonery, where I do custom balloon arrangements. And 15% of my profit and all my tips will be donated to the Micah Project.
So if you need balloons for a party, get in touch with Freya, and she'll provide the balloons, and some of the profits go to Michael Miller. Thank you. Thank you so much. You inspire us, and we love you, and God bless you.
Good morning. My name is Nancy Cacciarelli, and this is my husband, Mark. We were married here at Central by Dr. Jumper 32 short years ago. While I have grown up at Central for over 62 years, my husband was born and raised and continues to worship in the Catholic Church. The reason that I tell you this is because Mark has participated and contributed to the important mission work of this church, even though he is not a member. For anyone who might have a heart for missions, it is not a requirement to be a member of Central Presbyterian Church, but to be a believer and follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mark has had the opportunity to share the love of Christ in Honduras, Kenya, Zambia, and Iraq, and he's here this morning to share some of those experiences.
Well, I've been given the impossible task of summarizing Jamal's ministry in 5 minutes, so I'm going to try to stay as close to that as I can. Jamal Ladawi started his ministry, Hand of Help, in 2007. Hand of Help is a non-government organization based in Erbil, Iraq, which is in the autonomous state of Kurdistan. The mission is to assist refugees, internally displaced people, regardless of their culture or religion. The ultimate goal is to spread the word and bring Jesus Christ into the lives of these people. This is a very difficult task. In the Middle East and in Iraq, the Muslim base is 95% of the population. Very few Christians live in that area. In short, what Jamal is doing is he is spreading the gospel in what some people would consider hostile territory. Now, keep in mind, Christians have been persecuted in this area for thousands of years. But Jamal's not deterred. He believes no one should live in poverty, no one should go hungry, and no one should be denied basic life skills. You've all read the paper lately, you've all watched TV lately, you all know what's going on in the Middle East. Financial support is really needed at this point in time for Jamal. So you may be asking the question, who are these people that Jamal helps? Really, they're no different than you and me. They're all God's children. Unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond our control, they live in poverty. They've fled their homes. They lost family members, and very often they cannot feed their children. It's a very tough environment. How does Jamal do this? Well, on the micro level, his ministry is dependent upon his ability to network with other churches, other non-government organizations, the government, and the military. If you were to ask me to describe Jamal, I would say he's part missionary and part chief executive officer. And he does this at a pace that would bring a man half his age to his knees. He just goes all day. On a micro level, the scope of his ministry is enormous. Keep in mind, the ultimate goal is to spread the gospel and to bring Jesus Christ into people's lives. Now, remember, as I said earlier, he operates in the Middle East, and in the Middle East, people are very unwilling to even listen about Jesus Christ, let alone accept Jesus Christ. He does this through developing trust, and he does this with great patience. You know, I asked him, I said, how long do you think you would be working on something? How long do you think it would take for this to take effect? He goes, I don't know, but I'll just keep working at it. What I want to do now is just list some of the activities that Jamal does, and I'm going to number them, which you probably think is odd. I'm not numbering them in any particular order, but I want to keep count for you just to give you an idea of how busy he is. He assembles and distributes food boxes to refugee camps and to others in need. I've been to many home visits with him, been to many churches with him, and we've even been to the military bases. Two, he supplies Bibles and religious materials to introduce the gospel to the people of Iraq. Three, he runs training programs. These training programs are very important. What you need to understand is that Iraq is a gig economy. If you don't have a skill, you can't earn a living. Unlike the United States, you just don't have the opportunity to walk into a big company and say, can I have a job? It just doesn't work that way there. So what he does is he has sewing classes, hairstyling classes, electronic classes, computer classes. And what these do is these enable people to just develop basic life skills, find employment, and build a secure future. The other things he does is he has basic English classes, trauma counseling, and he has children's programs which enable children to be children in a very difficult environment. And working with the children is, on all these trips, is my favorite part. Four, he organizes activities for refugee camps, IDP camps, and Yazidi camps. Five, he runs safe houses for refugees and for women that have fled their families. And that's something that's very difficult to talk about. Six, he has programs for Christian widows. We've met with Christian widows, and their stories are very, very difficult to hear. Seven, he supports the Kurdistan military. I've been to two Kurdistan military bases with him. He brings food boxes, he brings religious materials, and he brings Bibles. And they accept the religious materials and the Bibles just as willingly as they accept the food boxes. Eight, he has prison ministry. And unfortunately, when we were there 2 months ago, it was Randy and I, that event was canceled due to a COVID outbreak, and Randy was really looking forward to that. Nine, he supports churches. We worship with several churches in the Kurdistan area. He has a church plant that uses his headquarters as their basis. And when I was with him in December of 2019, we went to Jordan and we worshiped with the church in Amman. 10, he does baptisms. When I was there with Jamal and Randy just 2 months ago, they baptized four people that came from another company into Iraq to be baptized. It was a privilege to witness that. It's something I wish everyone could witness. And probably one of the most meaningful discussions I had with a person through an interpreter was what this man felt after he was baptized. In closing, I just want to say that, when I go on these trips, I disappear for 2 weeks. And people at work say, where were you? What were you doing? And I explain to them. And I remind them that the whole world is a mission field. You know, what I'm doing is not great. You can do it yourself. You walk out your door, the whole world's a mission field. So they ask me about it, and I tell them, and I just say, all you need is an able body and a willing heart, because that's all I bring to the table. And it works for me. Lastly, when we was at the board meeting with Ben, he told me that the theme was going to be based on Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. That is what Jamal does. That is what all the missionaries at Central Presbyterian Church supports. And think the best way we can thank them is to offer our prayers and financial assistance. Thank you for your time, and I'll turn the floor over to who's ever next.
Good morning. I'm Andy Gunn, and I'm a member of the Central Missions team. And I have the privilege of introducing Daryl and Becky Martin. We're all special in God's sight. These two are really special people. They really are. And we are honored and privileged to have them here with us. They are ministering to the people of the southern Philippines and into Indonesia. And in terms of talking about the ends of the earth, this is where their heart is. Really, the ends of the earth. And I just also wanted to say that they are visionaries. They have vision for the expansion of the gospel through the world. They're currently in our mission house, and we are just honored and privileged to have them. So I will turn them over to you and let them tell their story.
Thank you, Andy. We are Daryl and Becky Martin. It's great to be with you this morning. And we are native St. Louisans, actually born and raised in this city. And my family has enjoyed more than 40 years of ministry here with people in Central Press. My dad used to office over here at the school across the street. And I worked on the staff of Fellowship of Christian Athletes for 20 years here as a missionary in St. Louis. And I got to say something about Randy Mayfield. He's special in our lives. He's been like a dad to us, really.
We're almost his age. We're missionaries with the Evangelical Alliance Mission team. And just a little personal background, we have three adult married children who are scattered from Montana to Philadelphia. And we're working in six countries in Southeast Asia. So our view is towards all of Southeast Asia and even Oceania.
Yeah. We actually have a home in the southern Philippines where we church planted years ago. But due to COVID, we've been locked out since March of 2020. So we're hoping to return at some point in 2022.
Yeah. So when we arrived, a surprise arrival in March of 2020, we have bounced around for the last 18 months living with family. And just last Saturday, we moved into our own space, which is the Central Missions House. And we are so blessed to be there.
Loving it. Yeah, our ministry really is to partner with the global church to make disciples and plant churches among the least reached people groups in the world. And there's a lot of those in Southeast Asia. There's a diversity of religions in Southeast Asia. Many people are living in poverty, and many people right now are really suffering with this pandemic. You just continue to pray for Southeast Asia. It's really gotten very difficult, and many people in these people groups have still not heard the gospel, have still never met a Christian. And our goal is to work with the indigenous church to see that these people groups hear the gospel, many for the first time, and meet believers in Christ who can lead them to salvation.
Yeah, and I, Becky, help nourish and care for team workers in that part of the world. We desire to be innovative, looking for how God wants to use this in this complex, changing world, especially
because of all the borders that have closed in Asia due to COVID.
One thing we enjoy and I enjoy most is networking, just meeting people, connecting people in Asia and the United States, and helping share resources, getting resources sent to these frontline workers so they can expedite church planting ministry among these unreached people groups. As Andy said earlier, my particular focus is Southern Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, high majority of unreached people groups there.
Yeah, we want to thank you for partnering with us through prayer, support for the Missions House, and also for partnering with four Filipino frontline teams that are taking the gospel into unreached people groups. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning. My name is Dave Miller, and I'm Michael's dad. Gospel of John, we read, because God loves us, we ought to love one another. And Michael and his staff at Micah Project do that so very well. But they do so much more. You see, they see these little guys as precious children of God, and so they never give up on them. No matter how many times that little guy may turn his back on them and the gospel, Michael and his staff never, ever, ever give up on them. You know, several years ago, there was one of the street boys that Micah was familiar with that was brutally murdered on the street. Michael spent that evening in the morgue to be able to claim that body. The next morning, Michael was at the cemetery with that body in the casket, that precious child of God in the casket. A group of street children and Micah kids were there to give that young man a proper burial, to send him home to his father. Michael never, ever gives up on any of these kids.
Thanks, Dad. Thank you, Dad. It's really a joy to be back in our home church, as you can tell, where my mom is sitting in the seat she sat in for 30 plus years here at Central in this service. This really is my home church, but in a big way, it's also the Micah Project's home church. You know, I was commissioned here in 1998 to go to Honduras, right there on that spot. And you all have not only prayed for me, but also for the Micah Project, our boys, our staff. You've supported us, you've prayed for us, and as Ben mentioned this morning, you've also loved us very, very well. So thank you all very much. You know, this past year, as a matter of fact, we were going to throw our 20th anniversary celebration as a ministry, and we were going to invite all of you all to come, and you all know what happened with 2020, right? As a matter of fact, we're glad that Central's youth group did not come last March, as they have for so many years, because our airport got closed down for many, many months. There was no way in or out of Honduras, and as much as I love you guys, the youth group, I didn't want you there for 3 or 4 months. So, just kidding. You would have been welcome. You know, throughout all of that craziness, throughout the difficult times, we have relied on God's word to remind us what is true, and that is Jesus will reign where'er the sun. You know, we've clung to the truth when Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And we have seen so many signs of that overcoming through the Micah Project in Honduras, even in this last year and a half. We've had 9 new young boys come off the streets. They are joy-filled boys who, instead of using yellow shoe glue and begging to survive, they are now learning their identity as sons of Jesus Christ, as sons of our Lord. That is truly a miracle. One of those kids was named Oliver. He was 9 years old when we found him living on the streets. He came from a tiny mountain village near the border of Honduras and Nicaragua, and his mom died of a drug overdose when he was just a tiny boy. He ended up on the streets of Tegucigalpa, where he knew no one. But you know what? He learned how to beg enough to be able to survive. And he learned, like all of the other street kids, that the best way, according to them, to forget where you are living on the streets is to inhale yellow shoe glue. But you know what? The first week of March last year, when everything shut down in Honduras, Oliver figured something out. There were no longer any more passersby on the streets in the downtown area to beg from. And so when our van went down to the downtown area to give food out to these desperate, desperate kids, Oliver saw it, and he jumped into the van, and he said, "I'm moving into the Micah house today." And you know what? He did, and he has not left since. A beautiful, beautiful kid. One of the other boys that had his life turned upside down by the pandemic was one of our graduates named Arlie. And you know, Arlie moved into the Micah house in 2006 at the age of 12, and he did well his first few years at Micah. But the reason why he moved into the Micah house is because his very, very alcoholic mom had been sent to prison. And you know, as he reached the age of 17 and 18, that same alcoholism that had really kept his family in chains caught up with him. And he ended up leaving Micah, and he spent some really terrible years on the streets. But we have a God who overcomes the world, and he kept reaching Arlie's heart. Arlie wanted to give it a new try. He picked up the pieces of his life. So he decided he wanted to be a chef on a cruise ship. So we sent him to culinary school in El Salvador. He graduated in 2018. In 2019, he got hired on a cruise ship based out of Barcelona, Spain, plying the waters of the Mediterranean. I mean, can you imagine this ex-street kid from Tegucigalpa sending selfies back with all of the European travel spots, the Colosseum, just like Randy has been doing this week, right? The Vatican. Just an amazing. His work was hard. He was the third chef on a cruise ship, which I pretty sure means peeling potatoes every day on the lowest, you know, level of the boat. But it was his dream job. And then as he was getting ready to sign back up for 2020, well, we also know what happened to the cruising industry last year. So he headed back to Honduras, not knowing what his life had in store for him. Well, we decided to give him the kitchen of the Micah house to be our chef because our elderly chef Aida had retired. And so Arlie moved in. He brought on a couple of our other grads who had also lost their opportunities during COVID. A few weeks after that, they were really revving up in our kitchen. He brought on a few other guys who had left Micah early and were going through some of the same hardships that he had post-Micah. And suddenly he had this kitchen that was full of life and energy. The younger Micah boys began to see there was something exciting about being in the kitchen. They all started joining him in the kitchen. And now every single person in the Micah house, even our youngest 11-year-old, wants to be chefs. So there you go. Arlie learned something important, which is that God had given him leadership and a calling, not just to peel potatoes on a cruise ship, but to form lives for Jesus Christ. And you know, Central Church, as you hear these testimonies from the Philippines, from Iraq, from Honduras, you all are part of God's hands and feet for overcoming this world. Even if you are here in St. Louis through your prayers and your love and your support, you all are doing just that. So thank you from my heart, from the heart of the Micah boys and staff in Honduras, for being used by God to overcome the world. Thanks. Would you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a glorious truth it is that Jesus shall reign where'er the sun, that there is no spot on this earth where you are not on the throne. Lord, I thank you for this church that believes in your mission, that believes, even in a world of trouble, that you have overcome the world. I pray that you would continue to empower the missionaries that we've heard from today, empower the youth of this church, just as we heard from Freya and Isaiah, to continue to love you and your mission around the world. Thank you, Lord, for overcoming. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.